July.
We were at the preliminary study meeting of the County Commission this Monday, September 26. This is that time when we go through requests for the day, what's on the agenda, review minutes, go through accounts payable, etc. And we'll be in the process of doing that until 9 o'clock, at which time just prior we also take public comment.
We had talked
right,
about that.
Right, and there was just some questions before we approved it. It was pulled last week, so the
check. I got it.
Okay.
It was for the National County Collectors, Treasurers, and Finance Officers, whose conference is in Branson.
Okay.
I welcomed them Saturday morning over at the Hill. It was a good group. Morning, Jim.
Morning. I was meeting with our HR people. I was running a little long. So sorry. I know Daniel will forgive me. He's just that kind of person. Still early?
Too early for forgiveness.
Okay.
At least so magnanimously. Pecker? Big one, isn't it?
One what? Water? I'll be right. Drinks this. I've drank some yesterday.
Thank you, Nikki. Is the schools update just the annual thing that Hyder does? Okay. Oh, here we go.
Right. Yeah. And we invite all the schools
cut. Mr. Taylor was at one time.
I have a question here on the
promise me a rose garden?
There's that too.
Okay. It is true. Here, maybe you can help me with this one. What does an asterisk mean by the minutes?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just
beginning and the end?
Beginning and the end.
Okay.
Jim, here's the minutes I went over this morning.
Okay, you went over them already? Okay. They're supposed to be. They're working on that. You saw the email, but it wasn't done. So I don't know what to do with that. Perfect. Not a problem. They can work and do whatever they need to do. Hello, sir.
Transfer of line item at any time that can be done.
More revenue for the county.
Well, I mean, going to see a different me.
Morning.
Morning, Sherry. How are you?
I'm sorry to hear about your dad.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I was off in Wonderland.
Yeah.
No, it's just new for me to get back around here.
I know, but it's a lovely place to be, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a very busy weekend, so two places.
Well, that is busy.
Yeah, the contract stuff.
Hey, Ron. On this, you put a question mark by this. Do you want me to fill in the blanks for this?
Well, I didn't know what that was. I wanted to officially relay.
The information regarding the temporary modification. We as a group extended...
Is relay the right word?
Yeah.
Relay. Okay.
I think what you're trying to do is just make sure everyone knows that we temporarily extended the comp time usage for road and bridge to September something. I can't
remember. Right, and I've got it changed on mine.
Okay, what did you...
I got that road up wrong.
Okay, let me see your riding up.
I scratched that.
The whole thing out?
That last sentence. You talking about he wanted to clarify?
No. Here, let me see what you got.
Put a question mark. I didn't know what it was.
I scratched that thing. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, we'll take. Looked at two pages. I had a question mark on that. So here's this.
Go ahead and scratch that out of there.
Okay. And then this one here. Look at this sentence here. How do you want us to reword that?
Make sure that they get. Is that what you were trying to say there? Is that what that means?
Make sure the road bridge gets the official.
Yeah.
Which sentence was that, Danny, again? Which one are you talking about?
The one that I'm doing?
Yeah. Down here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's use the word right here to officially convey information regarding temporary modification of comp time.
Write that real fast. Let me get my other pen out of here.
I changed on my own mind, but you guys can leave however you want to do that.
Convey, that sounds good.
Yeah, that is good. I don't know what I'm doing. I just made a mistake there. I wrote a scratch through a line that I shouldn't scratch through.
Unless you guys... I was looking at this, and this is on this way. I never wanted, but it should be. We're made a matter of record. Anything? We're had instead of...
We're had. We're conducted?
I think that that's something that they just used for decades, and so...
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I know.
I did, too.
I marked it out.
You use that word, too?
Actually, no, I did it differently, but... But I don't want to say that I did it
because I feel like I've been had part of the time, but I mean...
Me too! I've got to fix that. Okay. That's fine.
We could have that discussion. There is a P, sir.
Any surprises in there?
Not that I saw. Found. I thought that's a found other than the frame.
And we're going to work on that.
My good canal track. Oh, I got an office. What is this? By the way, gentlemen, tomorrow, beginning around 8 o'clock, I'm going to be available from then until the rest of the day if needed. That's when we're taking down up to the Veterans Cemetery.
Yes, sir.
I don't think we have anything scheduled.
I didn't see anything, but... Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. Challenge.
girls that we meet would talk about that today because every officer.
Well, we're in charge of the facility.
Actually, we've got board appointments scheduled today. Which boards are we looking at, guys? No?
Oh, we're, oh, there we go. We do have it posted, that's true.
Let's see, a name.
Do you have any names?
I have a name that I have no idea if you would consider, but... it's appropriate to do that today. I mean, part of the agenda we can talk about it. I wonder if Weiss would be interested in the BOA. It's a once a month.
Yeah.
Weiss. I saw him in a meeting the other day. I didn't talk to him, but I thought, you know, he's active in a lot of different
areas. I'll be handing that to you.
He's got a real estate skill, obviously, been a realtor for so long.
Much
of an idea of value. You got another gentleman's name on here. Is this? Is that Neil Sumpkin?
No,
it's. Bag in the front row ticking?
Yes, it is. I don't think that'll make any safer.
I'll just wait outside till it's finished.
See anything in here? I didn't either. I'm looking through the registry. Okay. Yeah, I don't. I'm not. I don't have a whole. I don't have anything for you.
Is it okay? Is my wife here?
No.
She ever changed?
No.
She's doing okay.
You may approach the bench. Oh. Thank you so much. What is that about?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm going to give this, I think we'll make this part of this record here. That way. Perfect. All right, well, I just love this. I'm good. Thank you, ma'am. There's in here, Danny asked for the official something or other to be supplied. Commissioner Strand wanted to officially convey the information regarding the temporary modification of contract use for emergency management in Road and Bridge. So that's, I'm going to put that with the 12. All right, so these are what you'll get. We'll give you the official kind of document. Make it a little official. It's not on the agenda, but it's that's the one that Mickey set up. With
okay. You mentioned this morning.
It's the calendar. That's this Thursday. 911 stakeholders meeting at 2:00 at TCAT. Nikki's the one to set the meeting there. I'll make sure I put that on there because that's.
You know, I saw something on that now that.
Yeah, it came through. It's on our calendar, it's right there. And Nikki's the one to send it out. Yeah, well, she'll have time when she gets here. The question for you is, do we want to have our agenda review over there? If we're not going to, you know, do we come over here and then go over there? And, of course, Danny's going to be gone. So.
You and I could actually meet there at 1:30 and call in, right?
Yep, we're good.
I look familiar.
Yeah.
Danny, is there anybody signed up to speak?
And me, I want to speak to you.
Perfect.
Danny's signing up right now.
Perfect.
He wants to read the phone book to us. That's what she just gave for the what the official. Remember, you were talking about we're going to convey the official change of the temporary comp time. This is what we did.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give that just one or two. So, okay. Thank you.
Last said I?
Yeah, you said I.
I said I. Back in May. There's your answer. Okay. Appreciate it.
I put the minutes ready. I'm making that better than minutes.
You have the minutes?
I added that to it, Ron.
Okay.
If that's right with you, that would be the official documentation to go along with the minutes.
Right. I'll talk about that next year.
Is that time allegedly correct?
Allegedly. I actually have it. That's Central Cellular Time.
That'd be CCT?
CCT. OCCT, Official Cellular Central Time. We'll take this.
We're ready, Len. Will you beep me?
I was going to call and make sure his ringer's turned off.
What does that mean?
You.
I have to turn it off because it rang when I went out the door and scared me. It was so loud.
I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Taney County Commission this Monday, September 26th, 2011. And note that we have had our preliminary study meeting. There were no public comments. And I would like to call on Commissioner Straffes for the opening prayer.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, Father. We thank you for spring and fall. Father, we ask you to be with the families that have gone through some challenging times in the last week, Father. We specifically lift up the Hausman family, Father. And Lord, we ask you to be with military families all across the country, across the world. Be with the servicemen and women who are deployed, the families, keep them strong, keep the personnel safe. Lord, we thank you for the Constitution and this great country we live in. And Father, we ask you to be with each leader, city, state, local, federal government. Father, you said you would freely give us wisdom if we ask. And Father, so we ask for wisdom as we proceed today and through the entire week. And Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Commissioner Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to exercise the chair's prerogative for just a moment to thank everyone that has sent cards and letters and emails and texts and flowers and have been so generous and kind to my family in the loss of my dad, and I just wanted to thank everyone for that. First order of business is previous meeting minutes.
Motion to approve minutes 9-8, 9-12, 9-15, 9-19 with changes.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve County Commission minutes dated September 8th, 12th, 15th, and 19th with noted changes. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. Next order of business is accounts payable.
Motion to approve accounts payable checks 326-007. Through 326082, warrants 5489 and one transfer buildings and grounds to road and bridge.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve checks number 326007 through 326082, warrant number 5489, and a transfer from buildings and grounds to road and bridge. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. Motion carries. Gentlemen, if I can get your signatures on this. Can't even write for that. Next order of business this morning, we have a Branson Schools update. Mr. Hyder, how are you today?
I'm good. Gentlemen, thank you for allowing me to come and share this morning. Nice crisp fall day. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I do not have, my understanding is handheld, so I'll just give her the nod and we'll work through this. I have a short PowerPoint. Trying to get out this fall and just spend some time with the folks in the area concerning Branson Schools. Tomorrow night to be at the City Council meeting. Mm-hmm. Have, I think, another meeting scheduled. We're going to go to Rockaway Beach and visit Mayor Klein and the council there in November. We'll also have some focus groups coming up later this fall. We'll send out an invitation. Certainly all of you are invited. If you can stop by, some small group discussion about our district and taking suggestions and ideas about how we can be better. I put on the opening screen when we met this fall, just kind of our theme, just thought you might be interested in that. We talked about change, complacency, and challenge. And you know, we continue to grow and things happen in the Branson schools about not becoming complacent and dealing with all the things we have to deal with. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. A lot of folks ask the question, well, who's on your current Board of Education? As you know, we change each year. Sometimes people refile. I'm in my ninth year, and as of today, there's only one remaining. That's Dr. Peter Marcellus when I came. So we've had change and turnover. Dr. Marcellus is our current board president. Wendy Davison is our vice president. Our next longest members, Teresa Givens, Roger Fries, Debbie Keller, Craig Westcott, and Jeff Smethers. So we have a seven-member board, and they do a great job for us, and thought you might be interested in who those folks are. Another addition this year, Brian Blankenship was with the district for 15 years, and he's gone to the Raytown District, closer to home. Dr. Don Forrest, who was superintendent in the Norwood Public Schools for the last 7 years, kind of a native Southwest Missourian, has joined us. We really appreciate Dr. Forrest. He's doing a great job. He's going to fit in nicely, and so I wanted you to be able to put a name with a face if you see him out and about in the community. Two key things I want to just briefly talk about that I get the most questions about. The first is, how's the district doing as far as student performance? And then secondly, we'll get into the whole growth issue, which you know is the centerpiece of what we've dealt with during my tenure. Just some brief comments about that. The first bullet point, one of the key things we deal with is the federal legislation, which is No Child Left Behind. You see a lot in the media about that. We deal with something called adequate yearly progress. And to make that as simple as possible, the federal legislation takes every school district in the United States and really breaks it down by building. And they take that building and say, we're going to divide that building up into subgroups. And if you have 30 or more students in a specific subgroup, and subgroups would be things like Caucasian, free and reduced lunch, Hispanic, American Indian, African American, Pacific Islander, if you have a subgroup of 30 or more, then they look at that subgroup and say, okay, did you improve their performance from the previous year? Special education is another group. If any one of those groups do not meet, only one out of the entire building, then your building is labeled, quote, failing. And that's one of the contentions that most districts have with that criteria. We've done extremely well. We did have a couple of subgroups, special education, and in a couple of our buildings, free and reduced lunch, it did not meet. We're supposed to be at 100% by 2014, which means that every student would be advanced or proficient. There's four categories. I liken it to if you said A, B, C, D, that's basically saying that every student will have an A or a B in those two subject areas, communications, arts, and art and math. So it's a tough challenge. We've shown growth every year, which we're extremely proud of. The middle one is one that we monitor a little more closely, the Missouri School Improvement Program. We have what's called an annual performance report. That's the state monitoring. They take the testing that I just described, ACT, dropout rate, vocational courses, college completion, and they have a 14-point matrix, and we, for the seventh consecutive year, have earned distinction in performance through that process. So we're very proud of that. We have great staff. They do a great job with kids. So that tells you a little bit about what we're doing as far as district performance. How do we get that performance? I want to share this with you. We're what's called a professional learning community, and we have four basic questions. What do we want students to learn? How will we know if they've learned it? What will we do if they haven't learned it? And what will we do if they have learned it? And if one thing No Child Left Behind has done, I think it's caused us to focus in on individual students. And I've made this statement before, but I really do think, and not only Branson, but all the schools in the state, we do more for students individually by saying, where are you, and how can we move you to that next step than we've ever done. So that is a good thing about No Child Left Behind, and that's the very core of what we do with kids every day. Two things about this slide to kind of summarize what I just said about instruction. The first, if you'll notice up there at the top, we started a theme a couple of years ago about We Are Branson. We're coming up on our 100th anniversary as a school district, the city of Branson, I believe. 100th is coming up here. If not, is it this year?
Next year.
Next year. So we're very close. We've been celebrating that, and we show this to our staff on opening day, with Branson Schools being the centerpiece. I talked about professional learning communities at the top. At the bottom, what we call the comprehensive literacy model, which basically means we want to teach kids how to be able to read, write, and communicate, which we think is the crux of what we try to do. And then on each side, we have what's called differentiated instruction, meaning different children learn different ways. And then on the right side, interventions, meaning how can we intervene and answer those four basic questions and move kids along. Our teachers meet every week. They talk about specific kids. You can go into our buildings, and there's a huge board that takes every child and shows where they stand in those four categories that I mentioned and movement throughout the year. It's really extraordinary, and our folks work very, very hard. We're very proud of what we've accomplished. A neighboring district in Taney County, Kirbyville, if you may have heard recently, their elementary school, a national, I think, Blue Ribbon school. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an indication of the type of instruction that you have going on in our county, which, again, we're very proud of. Well, this is nothing new. District enrollment, that's something we talk about every year because it just continues to climb. My first year with the district, I came in July of 2003, and you can see what's happened since then. Our last count, we were at 4,641 students. This year, not quite as heavy an increase, although it's around 2%, which is about 90 kids. So even at a 2% clip, if we were to slow down, which we do not think will be the case based on past history, that would be another 450 kids in 5 years or another building. I look back the last 10 years, the last two times it was at 2%. The next 3 years it averaged about 5. Now we'll see if that holds true again. So the steady growth that you can see, and many of you have lived here for a number of years, so you've seen it firsthand, but the growth just continues. We were very fortunate to get a lot of great support from our community and pass this last bond issue. Just a quick update about that. In the issue, we're building a new elementary school there. We're calling it Buchanan Elementary. It's a pre-K through 3 building across from the high school. If you know where the transportation center is located, kind of on the west end of that property, it sits just to the right of it. Kind of sits back in that area. If you've been through there, you'll see where the site work's been done. It's going to be a little over 100,000 square feet, and I'll show you the timeline in just a minute. We're getting ready to bid here not too long, and I'll talk more about that in just a second. One more, please. The second is ninth grade center. It'll sit on the southeast corner, and our plans have not changed when we talked with you last spring. It's going to house, hopefully allow us to house another 400 to 500 students and take that building capacity to 2,000. Again, plans are moving along, and we think we're going to be ready for bid here within the next month or two. And then the last project is our activity center, which sits on the north end of the football stadium. It'll be locker rooms, multipurpose space, classroom space. You can see the scoreboard down there in the bottom left. We are going to have to move that scoreboard down a little bit because of elevation, and then the building will move slightly. So that gives you a good feel, if you've been in the stadium, kind of how all that's going to lay out. Two other things that have happened since the last time I visited with you. We sold our downtown building there. That is one of the former school district buildings. Goes back a long time. We had a joint venture with the city of Branson. They ended up buying the building for $200,000, paying us out over 3 years. And I know they're working through a process with an architectural grant. I think it's through Drury University. Mm-hmm. And trying to talk to the neighborhood and decide what they want to do with that facility. So we're thrilled that the city purchased that. You know, anytime, as you know, you have a vacant building, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. And so we were glad to get that off our hands. We think it's going to be good for them. And that's been a good thing for both of us. The other part of the bond issue, we purchased the office complex there, the Corporate Woods office complex on Bee Creek. The name of that new facility will be Branson Public Schools District Offices. And we're progressing there. That will be done a little bit quicker because we'll simply be remodeling. And I'll show you that in the timeline that's coming up next. Here's the timeline for all the projects. This month, starting here in about a week in October, we're going to finalize all the construction documents. In November, we're going to be receiving bids. We have staggered bids set for each of the three projects. December 8th, at our board meeting, the board's going to approve the bids for all the projects. In January of 2012, construction will start. And then you can see the tentative completion dates. Notice that district offices, we're hopeful to be in by the time school starts next year. We are going to add an elevator to that facility. It's a two-story, does not have an elevator. We think that's probably being wise and proactive. So that's going to push us back about a month. We'll move in and then reconfigure our offices for some Elementary West people. December 14th of 12, tentative date for the Activity Center. The ninth grade center is scheduled for February of 2013. Now, I want you to take note of that last one. You know, we want to push things and make things as difficult as possible, but this is about as fast as we can get through it. June of 2013 for the Buchanan Elementary. Now, that's hopefully with good weather and few delays and few change orders. And I'll just throw this at you. This is something you may hear if you come to the focus group meetings. We've talked about, do we want to contemplate for 1 year in 13-14 pushing start back after Labor Day for 1 year? Now, I don't know what the consensus is going to be on that, but with pushing the timeline, getting the building ready, moving everyone, we may have to do a one-year fix to do that. You'll be hearing more about that, and certainly any input would be welcome. Two other quick things I want to share with you, and then I'll be glad to answer any questions. Back on September 10th, we've started the Branson R4 Education Foundation. The board approved it through policy, and then we have a citizens group who's put that together. Karen Hall is our chair, and they had a great event on September 10th, raised approximately $28,000, had a superhero contest, had two or three of us that they didn't really ask us. They just told us that we were going to be in the dunk tank. And it ended up being a little cool and rainy, and I told them they thought they were getting us, but it was really warmer in the tank than it was standing in the rain. So I tried to stay in the tank. But it was a fun event, and we had a lot of people out. And so you're going to be hearing more about that. But we're real pleased that that started. We think that's going to be a great thing for our school district. Appreciate all the people that are involved in that. I thought you might also want to take note, and I don't know if you did anything at Taney County. You may have. Several areas did. We're going to do a little United Way campaign in November. Several of the entities in the Branson area took part in this, and they've talked with us about it. We have a committee we've put together. Let me think if I can get this right. Food, fun, and run for United Way is our theme. I told folks that we're pretty simple, so if we can eat and have a little fun, and then on a Saturday, we're going to have a run. That's November 14th through the 19th. We're going to do some things in our buildings and get that started, so we think that also is going to be a great thing. With that, I'm going to stop. She's going to roll up two more pictures here for you and just say thank you for your support of our schools. I'm proud to be a part of it. I think it's, as you know, I think it's an excellent school district, along with a lot of others in Taney County, and I'm proud to be a part of it. I think we're doing great things for kids and want to continue to do even greater things in the years to come. Commissioners, with that, I'm going to stop and just see if you have any questions for me that I can answer for you this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Gentlemen, go ahead.
With the quick agenda that you have set forth on your buildings, that's going to involve bidding out to more than probably one contractor. I mean, is that the way you're looking at it, or you're bringing in contractors that can handle that kind of construction effort?
Well, in a perfect world, and you asked a great question, Commissioner Strahan, it would be nice if we had the same general contractor for all three projects. Although, you could also look at it, if you had a contractor for Buchanan and then one solely at the high school, we could work with that too. Of course, construction meetings are going to increase tenfold, but we are going to bid them separately. We debated back and forth about exactly how to do that, and our architects convinced us that that was probably the best way to go, to go ahead and do it separately and then see what happens. But we have a feeling that we may get a maximum of two and possibly one, because they'll obviously have to be able to bond all of those, which is going to limit. But we've had good feedback. And one of the things we've been, probably the best verb I can use is intrigued, is, you know, how our bid's going to come in. We're hearing there's a lot of people still looking for work. Of course, you have Joplin sitting out there with a lot of work there, but we're in a little bit different timeline, a little bit different situation. So that's our thinking at this point, that we've had some good major general contractors. It will be a general contractor job. We're not going to do construction management. We had great results the last time. So we'll see how that, but we are going to bid those separately.
That's my main focus was employment for the area, and it's...
Yeah.
The only thing I was going to bring up is that Dr. Hyde and I have met just a small concern about the additional traffic on Buchanan. We're going to put another school out there and just making sure Buchanan can handle the volume of vehicles, because that second elementary school out there is coming off of Cedar Ridge. So that's just a consideration. We'll need to look at traffic counts and see how Buchanan can handle the volume, because we're talking more vehicles out there. And so who is your engineering company you're working with? Who's drawing the plans?
Let's see. We're using, I believe we're using Great River.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're trying to investigate also on the north side, somewhat landlocked back there, but, you know, we're trying to look at options too for the future about, you know, are there properties on the back side that could get us over possibly to Victor Church Road or somewhere else? So that's something that we've got in the back of our minds also. I know we looked at a map one day, mm-hmm, about the outer road that runs once you come off Buchanan. If you go directly south, of course, it dead ends.
Yeah,
that may be difficult, if not impossible. We talked about an entrance onto 65, which I think also would be extremely difficult. But how can we make it as accessible as possible and not run into the same thing we had at Cedar Ridge? So we'll continue to do that. If you have suggestions, we certainly are open to further discussions at any time about how we can work together on that, probably along with the city also.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, when you're talking about pushing back the starting date for school to post-Labor Day in 2013, what's a typical starting date?
We typically have started, this year was August 18th. It's run anywhere from around the 18th to the 20th. I think the latest during my tenure was like the 25th. Of course, years ago it was, and I know that one of the area schools started like on the 11th this year. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much everyone else started that week of the 18th. We typically start on a Thursday. But for that one year, we might consider moving back again just because of how cramped that might be.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your comments today and presentation.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Appreciate it. Is there a USB drive in there? Is that...
Okay. Gentlemen, we have board appointments scheduled next.
Ron, I would like to postpone that to a later date. I have a couple of calls that people have called me that were interested, and I haven't confirmed where they're willing to serve. So if that would be okay with you two gentlemen.
That'd be fine. If we wouldn't repost it maybe for a week from today or something like that.
That would be fine.
Would it be all right, gentlemen, before we do that, if we ask Mr. Atchley if he had some comments about that since we were posted for today? Yes, no, regarding...
I just wanted to make sure. Basically, there are two Board of Adjustment members that have a formal agenda that were appointed, and then it would be the two vacancies for the Planning Commission, basically.
And which political townships are those? Would you suggest next Monday? Is that enough time?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Next Monday.
We will, Bob, we will repost that for next Monday. We'll give you the time and when that will be. And if you have some names that have been submitted to your office, I would certainly welcome those as well.
Okay.
Because we do intend to fill those positions, either through reappointment or appointment.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
We've got 6 minutes before the next posted item, sir.
Ron, it'll be just a few minutes, but would you like to come up and join us?
This week that we are looking for
some board positions.
Board positions to be filled. The biggest thing that I have is always somebody calling me after the fact, saying we knew you were going to fill that position. So,
what vacancies do we have aside from planning and zoning and Board of Adjustment?
I'd have to look. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know that.
Those two are the most immediate that I know of that needs to be looked at. So.
Thank you. Ron, the next item of agenda is county uniforms and roof replacement. My question to you is, are these bids that have already come in, the timelines have already been met, or are those set for today?
These were both opened last Monday, and then we had set a time certain to come back with recommendations. So these are just recommendations that I'm prepared to make here today.
Well, I was dragging my feet just in case somebody else came in. Sorry, I wasn't up to speed on that.
That's fine.
Let's go ahead.
Okay. Well, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me back to make a formal recommendation on two bids that are scheduled for this morning. The first one is RFB number 201108-149, and that is entitled County Uniforms. A week ago today, on the 22nd, in this forum, I opened up four different bids that were received within the appropriate times, etc. One from Synthes, one from UniFirst, one from Aramark, and one from Ameripride. And we asked for a time certain to go ahead and review all four, make sure all the appropriate requirements were present, and create a tabulation sheet. And the time was scheduled for this morning for me to approach you all this morning, come before you, and make a formal recommendation. I have copies of a bid tabulation sheet for each of you. You can pass them back, please. During the time frame by which I created this tabulation sheet and reviewed the figures that were submitted via the bid, I conferred with those particular department final users of the uniforms, and the recommendation that we've come up with as a consensus is, and I'll just read my comments here on the recommendation sheet. I hope this form isn't too complicated. What I've done is I've just incorporated the worksheet that was submitted in the original bid, and then I put a column in place for each one of the responders, Synthes, UniFirst, Aramac, and Ameripride, and they were opened and listed here in the order that they were opened. So after reviewing this, here's the recommendation. Subsequent to a thorough review of all submitted proposals and the completion of the above table, other employees who use this service were conferred with, after which the following consensus was reached. First, we eliminated Ameripride due to the fact that they do not offer overalls and their pricing is noticeably higher at first glance. Next, Aramark was eliminated despite the fact that they appear to be the lowest on first glance due to the fact that they did not supply any form of required written narrative per the RFB to explain their replacement process. The remaining bidders are Synthes and UniFirst. Responses from both are very close, but the unanimous consensus is a recommendation that we stay with Synthes, who has been our current provider, the main reason of which would be that we will avoid the costs and time delay to have name and department emblems and embroidery work done by switching. We anticipated those costs prior to the bid and would consider switching only if the overall savings were great enough to offset those costs. Although Synthes is slightly higher than the lowest bid, the overall difference will not offset the necessary costs if we switch. Also, the report back from end users is that Synthes has done a very good job, and they know all the stops, etc. So our recommendation this morning, gentlemen, is that we go with Synthes, or continue with Synthes, and issue a contract with them for a three-year period. Now, if you have any questions, I'm prepared to answer.
Just so we can clarify for those listening, is that part of the bid was the narrative of how we switching from Synthes to somebody else, like is it Aramark or Aramark, is however they say it. They were the lowest price in some aspects, not across the board, but they didn't address, making sure I understand, they didn't address how they were going to transition from Synthes to them.
No, actually, to clarify, the narrative that was required in the RFP that I put in there was for a detailed explanation of garment replacement processes, garment repairs, mm-hmm. and costs therein. And everyone supplied that except for Aramark.
Okay.
So I didn't know. I wasn't able to have a legitimate comparison with the other companies, not knowing if they were going to charge us X amount of dollars if we lost a garment, if a garment was torn or destroyed. So actually, I could technically have classified them as non-responsive.
Gotcha. Thank you. You bet. I'm satisfied, so I'm going to move that we take the recommendations of the purchasing department and award a 3-year contract to Cintas for our county uniforms.
Is there a second?
I'll second with discussion.
Motion's been made and seconded that Cintas be awarded the county uniform bid for a 3-year period. Discussion?
This was when we had went through this before, the 3 years prior to this, this was a pretty complicated for just a uniform bid. It was pretty complicated because of all replacement, damaged uniforms, things like that. With a discrepancy like it has in some of the items, it makes me wonder why they didn't go ahead and fulfill the request that you demanded of them. I think Cintas has done an outstanding job, but it bothers me a little bit to approve with some of the differences in the cost that's on some of these. They did come down. Cintas sent a representative down and went through every department that had uniforms and have been very, very good to work with. Performance-wise, they've been great.
Any other comments? All in favor to award the uniform county uniform bids to Cintas as per recommendation of the purchasing director, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Danny, your comments are duly noted.
I would ask that tab sheet be put into the record, and then I will go ahead and notify all the participants of the results. Thank you.
Did you handle in this? Or
I got yours.
Thank you. Okay.
I have an extra one.
That's all right.
The next order of business is to make a recommendation on roof replacement for the county extension office. This bid was opened also at the same time last Monday morning. We had three participants that submitted information, and a time certain was set to do a review with the maintenance and building department head, of which I did, and also created a similar tab sheet, of which I'll give you each a copy of that. Basically, I did the same thing with this tab sheet. as is, has become my custom, so to speak, and by putting the requirements of the RFP here, also set columns to where each participant could indicate, or I indicated based on the responses that I received, a yes on the minimum requirements. There was a fairly significant gap between high and low, so Renee went ahead and met with the low bidder again, and he did verify yes to all the categories. He completely understands the scope of services that are required and has reaffirmed with us that that is his price that he will honor. And so, again, just reading this for the record, the recommendation is, given the rather large gap between high and low, Renee Brushka with the building and ground supervisor, the building and ground supervisor, contacted the low bidder, Cole Finley, and asked him to reaffirm each of the listed points. Here, Mr. Finley confirmed his commitment as delivered at bid opening and assured Renee that there are no misunderstandings, holding to that amount as listed. Therefore, it is her recommendation, to which the purchasing department agrees with, to the commission to award to Finley Brothers Roofing the bid for roof replacement for the county extension office. Any questions?
I do. Insurance, workman's comp, is that covered? I mean, are they bonded to make sure that they don't fall off the roof and sue the county, things like that?
That requirement, as I understand it, comes into play when the overall costs exceed $25,000, which in this case we're looking at $65,28. So, but the wage area does come into effect, and he did confirm with that.
It seems strange to me.
Motion for approval. The recommendation of the purchasing department for Finley Brothers Roofing.
I'll second, but I'd like to have some discussion. Doesn't it?
Motion has been made and seconded to award the roof replacement on the University Extension building to Finley Brothers Roofing. Discussion?
The insurance seems a little risky. I mean, I thought that everyone had to have insurance that worked on a project, irregardless of the price of the bid.
Would it be simply a signature stating that they are insured?
That's all. I just want to make sure that they're insured.
Yeah, that will be required.
That will be required?
Yeah, that's just the bonding part.
Yeah, no, if they have their own insurance and they're
covered. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't ask for permission. Okay, I'm good now.
So what you'd stated, and help for my edification, is they don't have to be bonded if the project's under $25,000.
Correct.
Okay.
But they do have to have proof of insurance.
Everybody does.
I asked the question wrong. Okay. I'm satisfied.
Motion's been made and seconded. More discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. I will notify all the participants.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Anything else for purchasing today?
Not at this time. Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't say today, not now. Maybe later, I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. R&B guys want to come up?
Gonna make you sit over here. Oh,
morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
We posted this one, didn't we? The next 15 minutes is ours, isn't it? Specifically about the barn?
Yeah.
You want to start, Dan? You want me to start?
I'll go ahead and then I'll follow in.
Okay. I think the reason we're meeting is I believe I was informed that all the paperwork has been signed, filed, and money just exchanged hands, so the barn on Mount Branson now is in our possession. I think it all kind of started when I think Mr. Stahl said, should we be mowing the yard, when we found out. I didn't know we had filed the correct paperwork, so I guess it's all done now. So the conversation is really, what do we do now from or how do we move forward, I should say, not what do we do, but how do we move forward occupying in that and you know, obviously providing better coverage to the county, getting some of our equipment indoors. There's some bays there we can use. And just wanted to kind of have a discussion about how we kind of divided up the county to take some workload off the east barn and the existing west barn to see if we can't almost shift into more regions so that we have faster response times to certain areas. That's really kind of the start of the conversation. And then not so much right now recommendations of people's names, even though you probably have names. We don't need to do that right here in public. But what we can do is talk about how many people you see staff there, what kind of crew, the breakdown of the crew, stuff like that. I'd like to hear your thoughts on those things. And just kind of start the conversation that way. That's really what I wanted to start with.
That's basically where I'm at. The equipment that is outside either location, whether it be east or the west barn,
right,
be moved inside. I guess the salt and chemical treatment that we would have, is that already in place at the... Let's officially name this barn. It'd be one. Either we call it Mount Branson.
I think we just call it Mount Branson. It seems like everyone knows it by that.
That'll be fine. We've had it posted a couple of ways in discussion, East 76 and this and that. But we'll refer to it as Mount Branson Barn. The number of people coming from both sides would be something that we'll get into and probably have some adjustment on. I imagine there's been probably some people volunteered that live closer that might want to move. There might be some circumstances where people that live closer might not, it might not be because of their capabilities in certain areas, be the best for the county for them to move that particular site. So that's all discussion that I wanted to have.
Mm-hmm. We did discuss this amongst us three here first, some ideas and different things about kind of the boundary area for that would be covered under maintenance as far as this location. And then basically a few ideas on the amount of people, and I think we're in agreement about 8 to 10 personnel basically to work out of this facility. And we could tweak that a little bit depending on how the response times and different things. We also talked about the snow removal coverage and how we've got our routes set up in the current county right now. We've got a total of 16 routes, half of them pretty much on Harlan's side, half of them on David's side, divided up how it works best for each vehicle we got. Some routes have two vehicles, some just have one. We've pretty much come to the agreement we're going to try this winter. We currently have a shop that's located at Kazee Mills. That crew, both of them crews, there is about 8 people, work this route, what we call our one east route, which is from Bull Shoals Lake here all the way to Lakeshore Drive and Mincy area. We're still going to utilize them people to cover that same basic route within this territory and also use what David's going to furnish to cover more so the south and farther west from this location. if that boundary works. We're just going to have to try and see how things work. But that was kind of some ideas we talked about. Do we want to send a memo to each shop to kind of get some ideas of people that's wanting to go there that would like to work out of that facility, or how do you want to handle it?
Well, I think if we'll probably need to decide how many people we're trying to fill. If we're going to send a memo, which is fine, just tell them, you know, the criteria that we're looking to select from. They're probably going to want to know who's going to be the manager, so that they want to submit their name or not. So I would think that we probably want to get that settled so that we could then send a memo with more complete to kind of let them know so they can have a better informed information. A couple of things from just, there's no security, no fence security like we have at the barns. I mean, there's not a fence that goes across the drive, is there?
No. The drive. It is all the way around it on three sides.
So we need to do that also, don't we? Get a fence in the front?
We also like to, in looking at the entrance and experience already in pulling snow vehicles out of there, we would like to put another entrance at the back to utilize St. Street, because I think it'd be easier to get turned in there with bigger vehicles and come in the back side than that, the way that front entrance is. We've already got some ideas in putting we've already got a salt barn there, and we do have salt in it. We need to put more, restock it. We've also got a tank available that we can put there for calcium, so we have that. And fuel tanks are already on location. We just have to turn them on or check them out, utilize them. But so everything's there that's needed except the calcium, and we can get that set up pretty easily.
I would think we want to move forward with the fence right away so we can get the equipment moved. At least, are we going to do it ourselves, or are we going to pay someone to do it? What are you guys thinking?
We could probably get some quotes on from a couple different fence companies and see how that, because they're going to be basically a gate.
In the front and a gate in the back, right?
I would think the roll-type gate would probably work better there than big swing gates, because it's going to have to be a fairly wide entrance. So.
You may want to work to the edge of the building. Some of us talking about to get plenty of pulling room for everything set up higher away from the road, the fence itself.
The front of the building should be secure with the
right
locks on the garage door. It should be able to go off either the back corners or the front corners.
Right.
Get pulled in there. And
you're thinking back corner, aren't you? The back corner of the it doesn't really matter.
The back corner of the building, but make sure the fuel tanks and everything's within the
sure.
perimeter of the fence. And then get a cost on possibly putting a back gate back there of similar type. An entrance in there. So.
Do you want them to, want Randy to get with Ron Erickson and get that started right away?
Yeah, I would. I think they need to have a roll type.
Yeah, we got swing gates out there, and
the experience of the swing gates is horrible.
Pretty
yeah,
Just pulling up to location with a remote control to slide them open. Power gates is what I would recommend.
You want to get a price on power gates,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously just see the two price difference. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Are those going to be? They're not going to be inexpensive, but they're going to be priced so that we just can call bids.
No, they'll be more expensive
more.
Than that.
Okay.
But yeah. Now on the back side, gentlemen, I don't know that people. I would use the back side as a either an exit only or. That's something we need to look at.
For flow, traffic flow most?
For traffic flow into that particular area. We might put a counter out, see how many people's coming in now. They're in there. Doesn't that subdivision back there attach to a bigger subdivision now than it used to?
They've extended the road, and it's still a dead-end road. I don't think it attaches and...
They
it
don't
goes into Lakeshore Drive yet.
What's
I
your,
can check on that. I'm,
but that's
I know it went down
for it to be that way, right?
What's your thoughts on that exit only as a gate? Does that defeat half the purpose? Or
a lot of big trucks, I like the trailers.
It's the problem getting out with pulling out of there with a snowplow truck, spreader truck. You drag the front attachment on the highway there trying to get out. Besides... when you're sitting in a big truck trying to look back to the west toward Branson, you've almost got to lean way up onto the dash to even see that direction unless you get square. It's not a good entrance to try to pull out.
I'm talking about the back exit.
I'm talking about the front exit, okay. Trying to exit out of that.
What I'm saying, I agree. What I'm saying is, what about using that back gate as an exit only, like Danny was saying?
That's where I'm going with this, and with the subdivision that I thought was already attached, but it may not be yet, off of Lakeshore Drive.
Right.
That's going to increase the traffic flow there, so people coming in from our work side and trucks coming in and everything, I could see being a problem if they come in off of the 76 side.
And go out the back.
Go out the back side. And the reason I brought this up is because it'll make a difference in the way we want to bid the gates.
Well, I'd like to say the back
gates could be gates that could be opened and left open, but be there for security whenever everybody left. And the front gate be a roll type gate whenever they come up to go in. But it'd make a difference in the way we bid. Is the reason I brought it up in the first place.
Well, I'm just thinking an automatic gate in the back. Just when you get up to the fence, the gate automatically opens, and it's always closed otherwise. I mean, just that's a thought if we're going to make it exit only. But yeah.
But didn't you say it would be easier to get our trucks in from the backside than off of Highway 76?
Just the
bigger
equipment
vehicles?
That you haul stuff would be easier to come in that way. Just because of the geometry of that and trying to get turned in there. If we move an excavator in or different equipment, which won't be all that often, but at times you will be moving equipment in and out, they may have a hard time using that front entrance.
Okay.
So, but if we have a back entrance, that'll solve that problem because we can create the slope and everything, width and everything we want there. So.
Then let's forget my thought of automatic gate. It's probably going to have to be a swing gate then, won't it?
I would recommend the roll gates.
Even the back too?
Even the back. Because it is on a slope, and I really don't like the gates that swing out into a roadway or into the property. It may be a problem because it's going to be uphill. So
yeah.
If we can put a roll gate on there, I think that's going to be better.
I'm totally with you on the roll gate.
That's fine. That's good.
One on the back not be automatic.
Yeah.
It'd just be
one we can open or close. The front one we can make an automatic gate.
Right.
So. I did look over one of the storage buildings and had one of our drivers that runs one of the old distributors, and he thinks we can get them in there fairly easy. So, and there's six bays alone in that one building, not counting the two shorter end bays that can be utilized for some of that equipment that we currently don't have room and has to set out. David's also got the sweeper truck that's we'd like to be able to put inside. So there's several pieces of equipment that's going to be a big help. So
I would also ask that we need to go ahead and get our IT out there to get that process started, making sure we have internet and be able to connect to our network. Can you just work with Nikki Nikki will work with Mark, who's running our IT department, to make sure that we have all those services turned on, so that when we say go, you've got some access.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I would like to have a list of the way that you guys have got your crews broke up now. I know that you, from experience of watching your work, you send part of another crew with a crew to help them perform a specific job. But I'd like to see how you break those up as far as your crew leaders and the number of men you have with those. I was actually anticipating using that barn for more than 8 or 10 people, but I may not know what's best for the county like you guys do as far as the way you've got your workforce divided up. I figured whenever I first started thinking about this that there may be from 16 people out there at least, and so You might give me some idea and help me think, because I'll be getting that question when the public wants to know why the road isn't clear.
Yeah, well, now, at different times, there'll be that many people or more working kind of within that facility. If we're chip sealing and need a place to go rather than leave equipment sitting there on the road, if it's close proximity, we could take it to that facility and the guys can, instead of driving some of the equipment all the way back to either his side or David's, it can be left there, use pickups. At different times, same thing that we do at David's shop or Harlan's. I mean, we've got different workers that help out each crew. So, but that was just a number we kind of come up with.
Right.
That's for the maintenance part.
For the maintenance part only now.
Stuff like that on this certain area, like snow removal, they'll be getting the work order crew and the concrete crew.
Right. That's right. During snow removal, their force will have to almost double to run a 24-hour shift. It'd have to be that, because it would take at least seven trucks to maintain the area we were going to assign to this, to maintain that in a 24-hour period. It takes that many vehicles. Well,
right.
That takes 14 people alone just to run a 24-hour shift.
It's the same snow removal area the last several years we've utilized out of the work order crew and concrete. They still have basically their same territory, and then one of this barn would pick up the corner down. So that should make it all work with everybody on that barn, and then the Z Pills barn would take care of the snow in that whole area.
See what we'll get your guys' thoughts on. Maybe explain this.
If you gentlemen approve the area, we'd lay down.
Currently, what David maintains is Round Mountain, Bear Creek, everything south, BB. JJ and all of this all the way to the Arkansas line. That's basically the area he takes care of, even under snow removal. These the different colors are snow routes laid out. This is laid out in snow routes. This area right here in red is what we had.
When you say this area in red, they come all the way down here?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the way from the three-way stop here at Bull Shoals Lake, all the way to Lakeshore Drive and all the way south to Mincy, is covered with an 8-man crew of about 4 vehicles right now. And with this shop here has been a great help. That the one thing we couldn't put there was the fuel and utilize the facility itself. All we could do was load salt and chips there, so we were kind of limited. Now, with being able to use the building and also start from that location rather than start from Kazee Mills, you're going to have a better response time. Plus, we're adding this in this area with 3 more trucks working out of this facility. It puts about a 160-mile area within that using this boundary. And we'll just have to see how it works. If it doesn't, then David will also pick up some of these to take some of the load off. We'll tweak it and see how it works.
Does it take anything from your side?
No, okay. Yeah, my routes, this one still. I don't have
none of the snow routes, but I mean maintenance area. Well, maintenance takes this whole
maintenance takes over
this whole area here.
Right. Your routes are just longer.
Yes. See, this would be using the lake as the boundary all the way around.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
It's about 90 miles.
So this becomes this district,
yes. Right.
That district, and that district.
Yes,
okay,
right.
I see what you've done now. Okay.
Now, mile-wise, that puts about 160 miles within this district. It decreases this one to 90 miles. We still have 200 and some in this mile, but we can pick up.
He can go that way. If he needs to, he can come this way a little bit more.
Yes.
He's shaking his head no, but.
We can still shift and shuffle.
Okay.
Equipment, you're not adding manpower, you're just redistributing people and equipment.
It'll speed up response times too, though.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one idea, but that can
increase this area response tremendously.
Sure.
Right now, though, you, David, you take care of You take care of everything the other side of the railroad track, don't you?
Yeah, right now, David's taking care of BB, JJ, everything out here.
Take care of this so much Pine Top.
Right.
See, these guys go down Gunnison and come up Pine Top. But I take care of Arnold and Aspen, I believe it is there, and Gobbler's not off.
Mm-hmm. Coon Creek's down out with this crew, and but basically if we use the lake as a boundary, then there's a lot of this can be utilized. Yeah. We also have a salt building down here that we can utilize right here, that two trucks will work out of here that could be based out of here.
It should make a nice area. And then, of course, the regular times, the ever have any manned crew, they can maintain this area as their regular maintenance. Now, if they get tied in something, they can need help, and we
sure
assist.
So this is your proposal from a coverage perspective?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, how many miles would you imagine here?
There's a, this little area right here, there's about 10 to 15 miles within this little area right here.
Nasty miles.
Pardon?
Nasty miles.
I don't know what that number, there's a yellow.
Well,
I just play. Is it this stuff or no. Just?
Well, Harlan, I'd just give that to him if
I should drop mine right there. He's got a handle on that, sounds like to me. It's closer to this facility here than it is coming from here.
Well, yeah, that's a long way from Zona compared to that, I thought.
But one idea to get the manpower and some of the crews already on part of this route is the 8 to 10 men that we would station here during snow removal, this crew would come over to help out with that route just during the snow operation. Other than regular maintenance, they would go back to what they're doing.
Do they, you know, this crew here, this crew would handle this then, or what crew would, who would handle this for snow removal? What crew? Where would they be based out of?
Field.
It's not working bad.
Here's the problem, there's no fuel, no salt.
Right, so it
here
makes sense to
so
come here.
So this crew is going to work out of here during snow removal.
That makes sense.
They'll actually report here, and that's where they'll start from.
Okay.
At this point, we get a better response time as far as population-wise.
They did already get salt from there when the stuff
right
that we were
sure.
They didn't have calcium. It worked very good.
And you are moving calcium here. You're going to move calcium here. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So then you have calcium in all these three spots.
Yes, we have a tank already. Okay.
We also have it at Brandon.
Oh, you do?
You've got calcium down here now, too?
We put it in
calcium. How much of this is under the contract with Big Cedar? Do they do snow? They do a certain amount of snow removal?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
It's all ours, but usually we'll have trucks in the area about the same time they're there. They do get a couple of
them. That's nasty.
We've got to talk about that area a little more.
Okay.
For next year, as far as.
Well, I mean, it just doesn't work. Aside from that, and I understand, it just seems like it's such a haul from here to get there.
It does seem closer.
It's not really as bad as it looks because there's a truck pretty well designated for this area.
Really?
Yeah. We have a team where they go in there pretty well exclusively.
I have to go back to Cassie Mills
right
to get there.
Sometimes they'll come over here. You don't charge them too much, Mark? We don't.
Are we going to do a session?
Yes. Yeah. We are going to exec. We've got the list. Okay. So this is your proposal
on the area.
This is a proposal on the area just to start with. Now, how many people we were that would be stationed out of here full time would be 8 to 10. It could be more.
So if I hear you, then 8 to 10, and then during snow removal, we'll have the 8 to 10 there plus the 8 to 10 that come from there.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And well, that might get very efficient.
Area. That's why they can pick up mileage because they've got more people coming over. Okay.
Yes. That way they have enough to be adequate snow removal.
Well,
I know there's a couple of areas where I receive the most calls. And some of them are probably legitimate because we take care of them in a little bit later response time. I'd like to try to make this barn take care of that situation. Yeah.
Well, coming from here, when you get the guys in there and get loaded, sometimes it's an hour to an hour and a half before they actually get started on the route. And if you're already here, start here, and, you know, some of these heavier travel T-Highway, we've got some roads here, Coon Creek, we could be on a little bit.
I mean, it shows that we'll have much faster response time to assume. That's the exciting part.
Here's the part that hurts them the worst. If they run out of material or have a problem, then they've got to drive all the way back.
Oh, a year.
At 15 to 20 miles per hour because you can't run fast and change the truck. So that's what kills them.
That's a big positive.
And that's a nice maintenance area, too. This barn, they won't have hardly any gravel roads.
Yeah.
They got lots to maintain. Reestablish ditches, backslopes, brush. They can make it a lot.
Yeah. So this would be the regions for both snow removal and.
It should work. Yeah.
It should work.
It should work. And then, like I said, we're still. Oh, that can be tweaked as the first snow comes.
Oh,
if I have to pick up that first south route, I can do that. If I have to go even. You know, that'd be Poverty Point, Acacia Club, Iowa Colony.
This area.
I can pick it up.
Right.
But we've still got the south barn, of course, that takes care of it, does 86 and those, which has a barn in Forsyth.
You got 8, you got 10, 11, 12 men here. That's where they're basically over. It should work,
yeah. Yeah.
And that's a starting.
That is a good start. I like it.
And that's what the... I was looking at when you get over into your area, though, so you got Hollister and Branson who's going to be taking care of their roads. Do they drop plows on like we do on our littered roads when we go on a littered road? Do you drop plows on in the city's limits?
No, we do not.
Okay. What, like Fall Creek where it's divided up, we just... go right straight on through it, don't we?
Yeah, we start at that three-way stop. I'm going to stop that way. Have another section there, and they took it in. And then they took some in on the far end of Fall Creek also.
Well, we'll just look at this and have some discussion about it. But how many men covers your area over here, Dave?
Now counting... I have 20 men total, count two mechanics, myself.
For snow removal.
But we take care of that and those three south routes.
Right.
At the time.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
The theory on the barn should be it should help everything.
Sure. I mean, the reason it was so attractive is the hot oil tanker. I mean, just the whole tank was a big deal.
But it'll make a difference in maintenance. It'll make a big difference. Like I said, we'll shove equipment back and forth from wherever to wherever. And
sure. It'll take a little while to get that, but
yes.
The extra bays just to protect our investments, too, to get them covered up is good, too.
I know that this has been a topic of conversation, and I've actually visited probably with each one of you guys about this, but I'd like for in the future to try to figure out a layout to do certain districts or certain areas per year for chip and seal, other than running from one end of the county to the other with that. I know the reason that's taking place now and why it's that way, but I'd like to work toward that. I think it's a money-saving situation if we do a certain section of the county chip and seal it one year and another section the next year. Mm-hmm. But we'll look at this, and like I said, you guys will have snow removal. We'll make some adjustments probably through the just like you do now, when you've got a truck broke down or any other time, you know, we'll make some adjustments on,
yes, sir,
on that. So.
And there's going to be that anyway with the, I guess, total of five needs gone from last year. You've got three. If you have at least two on charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's lost
so,
two. So
mechanic barn wise, we'll have one at the West Barn, still have one at the Hills Barn.
Yes.
But there'll be no mechanics at this barn here.
No, because they have to buy more tools and everything, and they're both barns are not very full away.
Right.
We have the Landau trailer now with the winch on it where something's dead. We don't have to get records anymore. We just go drag it up on it and take it wherever it needs to go. So that shouldn't be an issue. Okay. Other than they should keep a few light bulbs and little stuff like that there, they could address or sell.
Their own maintenance, I mean, that's what should be checked every time they get in their vehicle.
Yes. A few little things like that.
Yeah.
But no, the mechanics, it would be a problem to go to one of the other barns.
Well, let's...
I think it's a good plan. Yeah, I mean, it's a good start. I'd like to know some names and thoughts about who you want... Who you guys think should be running the barn? And we have executive posted. And you want to talk about other road and bridge items before we go into executive?
You got a list?
I've got a pretty good list. I didn't make a copy of this, but beans we had to back our meeting up a couple different times. There's been a couple things added, but we can run through some of this fairly quickly if you want to.
Yeah, let's do that here.
We've completed our current chip seal list that we had. We did add one or two roads that to the list and was able to get them done. We've had to pretty well shut off hard on buying any more road oil and any more mix right now until we get our colony completed. When we, Kathy, done our last figures on our reports of what we spent, what we haven't paid for yet, we were within $10,000 or just under our target figure of 1.1 that we spent on our hot mix and our chip seal. So. When we get Iowa Colony completed, which they're paving today, and we get the bill on it, why, then we'll know where we're at, if we can do any more patching. If we can't, then it's going to be up to next year budget, I guess. So that's kind of where we're at. We're within that.
You're within $10,000 of what you budgeted.
Right. We're more than likely going to be under $10,000 of what... of that 1.1 target.
He said no.
I've shut him off.
That's what you need on the wagon.
Cut him off. Some more oil, perhaps a little bit of mix.
Like I said, they started paving Iowa Colony today. See how far they get. They should possibly complete that tomorrow. Winter supplies, we will need to restock with calcium and salt. And this don't include the Mount Branson yard, which could take about 4 or 5 loads of salt. But we're going to need 22 loads to completely fill our barns everywhere else. So, and we're going to need one load of calcium.
How's that look against budget? Pretty good.
That amount will run us just under $50,000 to complete that.
What did we budget? You remember?
We didn't.
We budgeted. We're at 89, so we're going to run over on that. But
a lot of this will be depending on what snow we get November, December.
Right. Right. Exactly right.
I mean, we've probably got enough for a snow or two. I've got enough for two small snows.
Okay.
So this will actually be used
next year.
Next year,
too.
We would like to fill our barns today.
Yes. And who knows? It might be used this year.
It could be.
I mean,
never know.
So fill, what I'm hearing is fill the Mount Branson
facility,
fill everything up.
Get ready.
One thing with the Mount Branson, it will need some work done on that salt facility. We got a weak wall, a couple of weak walls on it, so we've got to be careful how much we put against that one wall.
It's walled or wood all the way down.
All the way down. There's no concrete.
So we have poor concrete?
Yeah, we don't have time right now to do it, but we can get by through this winter and look at that next year about what we want to do to. But we can stock salt. We just can't put a great amount and put very much pressure on
the sides.
How much
time would it take to pour the walls? Could you not get it done fast?
We're looking at probably doing the whole structure. We're probably looking at a good 3-4 week project.
So. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, we can make do here.
Well, I mean, if you got an estimator, are you going to put half as much in there? You're going to put.
I want to put about 5-6 loads there right now.
Okay, and if we had concrete walls, how much would you have put in there?
It's a, how many bays? 3 bays? We could put probably 12 to 14 loads there if I had concrete walls.
Oh, see,
walls.
I mean, we could have three times the storage.
Here's where we're at with this, and I know where Jim's thinking too. We've looked at for years, looking at the underground to store salt. We've looked everywhere else to try to figure out where we could get salt in case we run into a situation. We all know that if we have a major event all over southwest Missouri like we've had in the past, we can't get it. So I'd rather have it in stock. Well, I'd rather try it. Don't we have a concrete crew? I mean,
well, how hard? I mean, well, if you ordered salt right now, they would deliver it tomorrow?
Possibly.
I know we could redo the structure.
Oh, yeah. We can.
Well, if we can't,
we can.
No, we can redo the structure. Right? It's just going to take a little bit of time.
We can do it, though. It's very possible.
I'd just rather have the capacity.
I would, too.
I'd rather redo the structure and have the capacity of this. Okay. I mean, we've had some wild weather. I mean, yep. We can. I just.
And it could be. And
it's just hard to say what is going to happen. I just rather.
Guys, I'm going to go get some coffee. Do you want right. some?
I'm okay.
I'm good. Thank you,
sir. I'll do.
Both of you.
Go ahead. No, okay. I'll come back. We'll take yours. Go.
I think it's one of those things that
we'll regret it in January if we had a horrible storm in December.
Oh, okay.
With our current concrete crew to make this probably go a little faster, I'd like to add a couple of people to them to help out because
I think that's got to be a priority.
We also will need to rent, which I think we've got the money budgeted to for rental. We need to rent forms and that type of thing. But it's something we can do. But
he's got a certain amount of plywood forms for that, which is 8 foot, which you might be able to use.
Whatever it takes to get it done the fastest. I think we're looking at speed.
Okay. Well, I'll get that underway.
If you need rental forms, we've got rental money.
Yeah, we're good.
And that's safe. Right. I mean.
Okay. Do I? That won't be a problem. Whatever line item you want to take that out of, we don't have that in buildings and grounds, that type of thing. But
The expense. We'll find it in my capital or something.
Let's just kind of like to get you boys to, I think, but I probably need to go out there and look at it too. There's a possibility that we may just want to have a contractor put it out for bid and have two or three contractors come and look at it and bid it. They might bid it cheaper.
It just may take too much time. I mean, I'm here in time, and I'd rather just, if our concrete guy can make it on this,
if you want us to move on quick, we can move on quick.
I know what you're saying, Danny. How is the concrete work right now with the concrete crew? Are they?
We don't have. I've not put them on. Right now, we're finishing up our mowing program with them, and I can pull them off that right now. We've had our concrete crew mowing is what we've had them do.
Let's have them do this.
Thing. Okay. That'd be fine.
If there's a way, and this is something I think I heard you asking, is let's label this a certain way. If you would label all the invoices, maybe salt barn or something, so that we know we can pull all that money out of a capital improvement line versus nickel and diamond every other in line.
We We've been currently, everything we've done with the current hot tank and other things, we've been putting a PO number MB76 on it, so we know that was Mount Branson Highway 76
okay.
barn. That use that as a PO number. We could do the same thing
Let's
here.
Let's do it on this because it's a capital everything. Improvement. It's to get this facility up to speed. That way okay. we don't nickel and dime every line item that we've got.
I'm going to bring some up in executive about some personnel to do that too, help with that.
Okay.
Personnel that we've got.
All right.
Help
I mean,
with that.
We're currently, we also are working on our next year's list as far as what we think we're going to need to cover as far as chip seal and hot mix overlay, and hopefully in another couple of weeks we can kind of have a tentative list to have you guys look at and kind of use that for budget reasons. I have received calls a couple of different times on a road called Birmingham that the guy would like to see some improvements done on for safety reasons. And
is that right at the top of the hill?
Just right at the top of the hill over here. This road currently has a lot of blind corners on it. Averages 15 to 16 feet in width. It's not so much drainage issues that it is just too narrow and too many blind corners. Now, with the subdividing on the mainly one side for the first mile, we automatically have an additional 10 foot. We can utilize that for the most part to do improvements. There's a couple of right hand corners that we'll probably need to acquire a sight distance type easement for. Just the corner itself would help as far as that. If we could probably look at that happening maybe next year, doing some work, use that kind of as a project.
More traffic every year because of wells down there and very narrow.
Yeah. What you're saying is you want to look at it as a projected project for next year.
Right.
We'll look at that when we get ready for the budget, and you guys can give us kind of an estimated cost of what needs to be done. Is that where you're looking? That's where you're
yeah.
going?
I can bring you up an estimate.
Okay.
That'd be good.
Okay.
You'll bring an estimate?
Right. All right.
Question, I'm sorry if I wasn't paying attention. I know towards the end of that road is, well, it's narrow for the whole thing, but down towards the end, it goes right through, or getting close to the end. The guys, I mean, right.
Right, and
yes,
we looked at that several years ago, and we couldn't get the homeowners to agree. And you got down to the end, right where them lots, their property, yeah, them lots right there.
Right.
We were going to change and take the road right down that property line pretty much, but we couldn't get anybody to agree, so that idea kind of fell through.
We did some work down there and took it right past the guys. I mean, it actually went beside his barn.
Right.
Just run right straight.
Used to be an old cattle guard there. Went right through and across the cattle guard mm-hmm. and down.
So there need to be some evaluation
yeah.
on cost of hopefully we can get the easement. But we'll have to try to figure something on it.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway.
Randy, have you adjusted your easement cost with the real estate market?
No. I haven't got a current.
You need to do that because I thought about
I need to find somebody to try to.
Per square foot that we
right.
used to pay versus.
The guy I had to do the last one is no longer among the living, so do we have any other people out there that would be a good candidate that could work up a cost as far as.
Appraisal wise,
land sales?
We've got a few names. I mean, we've got. Some names we can talk about and give to you.
Yeah.
The one I had is almost 10 years old.
Well, and what you can do in different areas, but what We'll do. We'll get. We need to adjust on that. I don't know what brought it to my attention. I seen something the other day where we had paid for some easement, and it was back at the old cost, and it was just a little bit more than what I.
I did talk with one engineer on the power site sewer project and met with a gentleman out there and looked over kind of some preliminary plans. We are looking at ideas on the one road at taking the sewer out of the road and working on that. Most of the rest of the roads over in power site area are all narrow roads, and just about all the sewer is going to be going down the centers of all these roads. And during that project might be a good idea is when we can get a little bit of widening done. They're currently, the rest of the roads over there are chip seal type roads, and usually through a sewer project like that, they'll become paved roads, overlaid. But I hate to see an overlaid road only 12 foot wide, and a lot of these roads are only that, 10 to 12 feet in some areas, because there's they're kind of a residential type area. So,
Randy, can I kind of update these guys on the phone calls?
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Randy about this, but I had two phone calls, and they're actually in two different locations. One of them is down at the Valley View, Scenic View or Valley View Road. The lady said we just got a nice road in here the last couple of years, and we had to see it tore up. The other one was from Mr. Jasper Reynolds, and Jasper, that circle there, I don't know what the name of that circle is.
Ridge Circle.
Ridge Circle. Mm-hmm. We just asphalted that road 2 years ago, I believe it was.
Yeah,
and
it was 2009.
They widened it, asphalted it, and everything. Jasper said he did just, it made him sick to think about what's going to go in and tear the road up mm-hmm. with an asphalt road. And that they would be willing, him and J.T. Magnus would be willing to donate easement beside the road, the full stretch around. I think they own, what, three-fourths of it, don't they, pretty
just
well?
Just about, yeah.
That they would donate just to set it off the road and not tear the road up. And so I had Randy contact. Did you get in touch with...
I did get in touch with Great River and met with Sean there on site. We drove several of the roads and talked to Jasper Reynolds also and looked at different ideas and possibilities of how they could run this sewer to not affect the road. One of the problems we're going to have, even if they put the sewer off of the road, a lot of the construction equipment stuff is still going to use the road, and we still may have a road that gets tore up. So we're going to have it road in the contracts to make sure that any damage to the road gets repaired or resurfaced. So, and they are working on different issues we've had with other sewer projects, how to best write this up to where we're for sure covered. So,
Randy, with that particular road, though, couldn't, and with the volunteering of the landowners to supply the easement, I think we can get a construction easement for that particular part of it, too, and let them run that equipment up and down. That, I mean, that's basically a flat area over there that they're talking
right.
about. Let them use that construction easement for running their equipment up and down it. Whenever they're doing one of them big projects, it just kills their roads whenever they're through with their. So if that be something that could be considered, they're offering to donate it, so you can't get any cheaper than that.
Right. But that's the reason I put it on here to kind of update you a little bit there. The plans are still working on them. But then when I got to looking at the rest of these roads and knowing that when, if this sewer project does happen, they usually just come in and asphalt the roads and over like it is Ozark Beach, and I'd hate to see them just piecemealed in. Would we want to work with them to have a good set of roads over there once this project's completed rather than a piece of chip seal road that the sewer may not have went down, but it's only went down half the road, and then we still got a half a road that may be narrow and the rest of the road be asphalt. How do we want to handle?
Well, the situation with the lady that's down Scenic Drive, I think that's where they call that. We went in there and replaced culverts. That may have been last year. If it wasn't, it was year before last. We did two diagonal culverts in there. They had a water problem. It's running water right straight into their house down there on that corner. I think it'd be a benefit to us to look and see if we couldn't get easement for that sewer line other than tear that road up there also for that full stretch. I know that's a lot more
work.
Let me
ask you this question. Doesn't the sewer department have to go, that easement's ours right now, right?
Yeah.
They would have to come to us anyway.
Right, but I'm talking about additional.
We should know before they tear up any road.
Well, they're marking it, though, Jim, and that's what's getting me the phone calls.
Well, I understand. I'm just wondering, since it's they're a actually, political subdivision, they have to ask us, just like any subdivision would ask us for easement. Ron, am I mistaken here?
No, I think you're dead right.
They basically use our road water right-of-ways, which eliminates them having to acquire additional easements across private property.
I understand. So, they're still supposed to ask permission, right. Just like natural gas people.
I went to Randy with this, and I knew they were having this meeting. We discussed. He said we'll be coming to you in about 10 days to 2 weeks with this. So I went to Randy, asked him to do a little
preliminary work.
Be the middleman is the way I did that. And in the meantime, Randy, I don't even think I'd mentioned the scenic view. And those other roads that we worked on, because we cut across their road and put those big pipes in, and they just didn't. She said, you know, we got paint out here in the road where the sewer's going. We just don't want to see our road tore up.
I don't blame them.
After we've spent all this time getting it, so I understand totally. So, do you want Randy to coordinate with the sewer department?
Absolutely.
All right.
I mean, okay. Is it wrong for him to say that they need to coordinate every time they're planning to touch a road in our easement because they're a separate political subdivision? We need to know before they start
cutting them up.
Okay. I have a drainage problem that was pretty much kind of a drainage issue before the sewer project ever started, and this is on Cope Lane.
What would it take to fix that, Randy?
It would take about a half a day's work with a small crew and run the drainage down a sewer easement, which I've already had acquired permission through the sewer department to do, and it would help this situation tremendously.
I'll go ahead
and try to get this done. The cross off the muffler shop, the quickie shop type deal, that was just a little patch job that wasn't even supposed to be on there. The trench grate at the Mount Branson, that was one. Was that at that facility?
Yeah.
Okay, in the main entrance, you wanted to put a trench drain across or is that a?
This is agreed to by, as you turn in by the muffler shop to go in, it'll be our entrance to the back of the.
It'll be St. Street. Barn. St. Street's across. But okay, that
where they
I
have
had the wrong road on
there. The new addition, the new building, and everything there on the right, mm-hmm. And they've got that concrete. They've got asphalt and they've got concrete. They brought a lot of water down. They're saying disabled board, is it?
Tantone?
Is it Tantone, or do they? How do they go by? They go by two or three.
It's the SB 40 board, but Tantone Industries. Development and Connections, correct. Yeah.
Okay, here's what they want to do. They said they would furnish the grid to go across to take that water and take it across the road other than have it run down and cause a problem with this guy in the muffler shop, and they're wanting to be good neighbors. They agreed to this last year. So I got an email the other day, and because of the rain that we had,
right,
they wanted to revisit it and get it done. They said if we would furnish the labor with road and bridge, then they'd furnish all the grate and all the stuff that okay. goes in the cost of that, and for us to put that in.
Now, do they want to cross the entrance of their drive for us to put it into our pipe, or do they?
Max Lytle about it.
Max yeah, Lytle.
We want to catch the water before it comes.
Of course you do.
But just right drive. Above that concrete, did you see where they put the concrete in right at the edge of the road? I mean, it's poured concrete. You'll have to go above it on the asphalt to cut
yeah.
it in.
Yeah, okay.
And that's where I thought we'd cut the grid in and then just turn it down into our pipe there.
Okay.
If we don't, we're filling that muffler shop up with the water, and the biggest thing is all the mud and stuff that comes off the hill up there every time. Okay. You guys all
right? Did you have a contact number? Or?
Max did have that on there.
Okay. I just need to get that from you. So.
And one thing you may want to do is you may want to do the entire thing and then just bill them for
335-4135.
Bill them for the grid. That's
4135?
Yeah, 4135.
Okay. And that's Max?
Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E. L-Y-T-L-E.
Okay. Unless you gentlemen think that it would be better off to let them have an engineer the grid and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to be a wide deal anyway, I don't think. Probably a foot wide to drop the water in.
Okay.
We've already got some barrier with a...
Yeah, we've done a little concrete curbing on the other side to kind of handle some of it, but it won't.
It goes over.
It doesn't near handle it.
Yeah.
It jumps it. So, we're going to replace a couple of culverts on Lakeshore Drive, right at Kennecott. We've got an old concrete arch type structure. It's one that you pour concrete floor and you set this in. It's really an old structure that's not handling the water. Kennecott called back earlier in the year. We didn't have enough time to really get before they got busy with their main camp, so I asked them if they could wait till fall possibly, and they said that would be fine when their camp shut down. So we're fixing to replace this old culvert with a new one, bigger size, and also the culvert that we've currently got across this Maple Street that goes up into the kind of Gulf Range, whatever that little area is. The problem I've got is all that drainage coming off of them coming down as the natural drainage comes down to our ditch. These culverts don't handle it, and it jumps the road or goes across and hurts the camp below where they can't handle it. They've got it fixed. Anything coming out of our existing culvert, they can handle. They got provisions for it down through the camp. But if it goes down this other roadway entranceway, why, then it causes them problems. So they're wondering if we could replace these culverts.
Okay. If we replace them, and I'd say yes, but if we replace them, do you think we need to have... I hate the cost of an engineering study, but I don't want to fix up a replacement culvert and then have water go down on them where it may not have been before, and then we be responsible for the fix after it's in.
No, I didn't do a topo of the area or anything. I'm just going off the existing culverts we've got and just upsizing at least one size.
You mean you're thinking it's a... Is it a 24, 16, or what is it now?
We're thinking of putting in a 24 or 30-inch. Right now, it's an 18.
Well,
and then the one across the road is probably 15 at best.
I'd be fine with that if you want to replace it and can get that big in there. Are you going to have to chip it and all that?
No, I think the only thing we're going to have that's going to be a problem is a water line that they bored under there. We're going to have to find how the depth of it. So... The sewer line's going to be fine.
What I'm saying is if we go a little bit bigger and we have a problem, but if we go from a 15 or 18 to a 30, that should take care of it. We shouldn't have to go into an engineer design of
right.
water drainage. Do you think so? I think it'd be all right, don't you?
I'm fine.
We'll by doing that, you're not going to have the problem that we'd be creating otherwise, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying if we take the culvert out, we've run into this before. It's whenever we do any work anywhere, and then if there's a new problem created, whether it was there existing before or not, we get blamed for it.
Yeah, but the bigger culvert's not going to create that additional problem, is it?
No, it's going to it'll help.
If we can control and get the water to go to where it's supposed to, I don't think we'll have the problem. Right now, during heavy rains, our pipes aren't handling it, and it's going across the road and down.
Yeah, that's what I'm
a
saying.
New entrance,
if they're not handling it, what's the capacity that handles it? And if it doesn't handle it, what we put in doesn't handle it, then we're...
Do it again.
Right.
So, okay. The... last item I got, I need you gentlemen or one of yous to sign this 404 permit, and this is for the Pro Tem Cedar Creek.
The bad bridge?
Bridge. This is so Gray River will send this to the Corps.
We've already approved that, right? So Ron just needs to sign. We've already approved that project.
There's two places there on that to sign, Block 11, and then on the second page, I think... Block 26, I believe. And I'll get that back to them. They'll take care of that. They're also taking care of a permit for other smaller structure down there on Shady Springs. So, and I've already sent that to the Corps.
And this says we get a permit back on there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got one item for me, too, by the way.
Yeah, I've got two.
All right, you can strike me out, Gordon.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll wait for Mr. Stahl to get back. Go ahead, Danny. Oh, he's back. Shady Drive. We have a gentleman, David, you know the area, the Shady Drive area?
No, you're going to refresh my memory.
Over in Branson. It's a gravel road.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I guess the best way to explain it is it's a through road technically, but it doesn't get maintained past a certain point. It's real steep. If I'm not confusing the area, the resident says spent about $4,000 on rock over the last multiple years maintain it for him to have access to his house. And I think he has about 300 feet of gravel. Is that right?
Probably.
Okay. Anyway.
Where's that, Jim?
Off Fall Creek.
Illinois, is that right?
Well, it'll run into Illinois.
That's that little deal we went through five or six years ago.
We
maintained it.
Comes off Illinois and winds up, ends up on...
We never maintained it, to my knowledge, between there and Illinois.
Right.
The city has taken over that part now. They took over Outdoor,
all them roads south of Fall Creek is all within the city.
That technically Shady is city's domain or our domain? See, I keep on hearing that the county still maintains that road.
Jim,
the conversation may be over. It's right over here.
You're saying we don't maintain it right now, Paul.
36, Fall Creek, right here. You can see it.
This little piece right here.
See it, Danny?
Is what we're talking about.
We had a conversation about this sometime.
It's like a 20% grade, probably, is it not?
It's deep and it kind of winds.
And it's a horrible, there's no water runoff. The problem is people are using it as a cut through because I guess a GPS system now has it as a cut through.
Well, the part we did maintain is paid. Has been paid for a long time.
Right.
The section we never took care of. Between where we stopped and Illinois Street.
We had a long discussion about this about 3 or 4 years ago, the same deal about how to get it over and bring it out and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
I think that the discussion ended at that point because the city of Branson actually at that time thought they were going to be taking over that part.
So here's the only thing they're having a challenge with now is GPS coordinates now, Garmin and TomTom, route traffic on that road. Now, He said, I'm helping 20 vehicles a day, mostly RVs, try to turn around on Shady. He said, they're getting stuck. It's a disaster. He said, I almost got my, there was a guy with a load of timber that tipped. And he said, one of the logs almost hit my house. So he said, what do I do? But I thought at that point, I thought it was county maintained. Okay, so then I can safely write a letter from the county saying he needs to talk to the city because we do no longer maintain those roads.
We do Illinois.
That's fine. I'm just talking about Shady. Right.
I gave your office a copy of where Branson had took it over.
I've got a copy.
I've got one in my pickup here.
I just wanted to double check one more time.
Branson took them over.
Okay.
Yes.
Then that's fine because I feel bad for the guy. Because it's like someone's going to provide a turnaround or something, but you know, they get up there with, you know, he said RVs and all that, and then they're stuck.
What we used for a turnaround when we did maintain it wasn't much. It'd been hard for an RV to turn around.
Oh, he said it's a disaster. He said, I'm helping them back down the road, and
I don't know how Garmin sent them through there. There's maybe an RV place on Illinois.
No. If you show a route, it is a cut through route on Fall
right
Creek.
There, see.
It is a legitimate Garmin TomTom cut through route.
It uses all of our centerline mapping.
Yeah, but it uses Shady Drive all the way up on the top side. You know, it cuts to Fall Creek. Mm.
Yeah.
And he said it's just a disaster in the last multiple months. And he said, I can't afford to keep the road up, maintained. And these guys are tearing the road up. And
can you get with the city on that?
I'm going to let the city know. I'm seeing those guys on Wednesday or something. I'll write a letter.
It needs to say about the city getting a no truck, free truck, or no
something.
Okay. Maybe,
I'm good on that. Danny, your turn.
All right, Clarkson Road that goes down to the Big Creek exit, or lake access that we talked about. Last that I had heard, and you guys may have done something since then, do we still have all the material and everything piled beside the roads there?
Yes, we do. We have come back and tried to go from the FSC.
Okay. I'm starting to get some calls about that, and because it's been there for a while, is there any...
We can work on that this fall or get it laid out in the road.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But I think it's strictly because we went in there and done quite a bit of work, and then we pulled off that I'm starting to get the calls, but they're starting to call to want to know if we're going to do anything or why we're not doing something or... Right. Several questions to us, so I want to get that addressed.
Yeah, when it comes chip and seal time, of course, we didn't have man to do anything
right
about it then.
Right.
But as we're about to wrap that up.
Then also I need to inform these other guys. Randy and I had met with Mark Case at KDOT, and Mark was real easy to work with on this. He actually... told us that they're in the dip that we wanted to cross, that we could, if we put it, there's two categories that they place those in, and that they would give us, like, it's going to be 80 foot probably, isn't it, Randy, wide as we go across?
Yeah, it'll be at least that wide.
80 or 100 feet
to do that
they're going
type
to
of field.
Let us, without going through the permit process that I told you before, that was going to cost us $10,000 to do that, but they said that they would let us take the timber off of the upper side and pull it down and move the road over so that we can use the road bank, existing road bank, for our embankment. We're going to raise it like 10 feet.
Right.
So... He said that as soon as we got that to him from Great River Engineering, that they would approve it. So as soon as we sent that down from Great River, that he was well aware of it now, he would get it approved, and that would all be part of the process, and then we could start working on that project whenever we decided to then. But that part of it needs to be done. Randy, is there anything else that I needed to...
No, he said that clearing of the timber on that embankment didn't require that environmental.
Yeah.
So, and I also mentioned that to Great River, and they were supposed to send that, get them in profile to Mark Hayes. So.
Yeah, the profile shows an 8-foot rise, and we need to go between 10 and 12.
Right.
Yeah. So he was going to show that in there and okay. get that sent to him.
He talked to Randy and I both. He was just absolutely crazy about what the boys had done at the KDOT park cleaning that thing. Matter of fact, he made the very comment that I made to start off with. When they see that we're trying to do the right thing on these projects, he said it makes it very easy to get those that approved through his superiors at Little Rock. If he gives a recommendation saying that Taney County has went above and beyond to do the right kind of job on those entrances, because he said a lot of counties don't have the money to do the right kind of job on it. But he said it makes it easy to get a project approved. So I shout out to the Road and Bridge boys that helped get that mess cleaned up down there.
King of Throne Road. I have a question before you start.
Yes, Paul. Yes, sir.
Do I understand that the parties that are involved out there have come to the conclusion that they don't care if the road goes all the way through or not? I'm not talking about Jessel. I'm talking about the other parties involved.
I haven't talked to anybody else about it. Do you know anything about it?
The impression that I get from Mr. Darby, he'd like to see the road in there.
And Darby's the new owner?
Mr. Darby's the new owner, yes.
But there's no push from
Bet you don't live there no more.
No, Mr. Darby bought that lot.
Bessie.
Yeah.
Well, for heaven's sake.
The guy that's got the house back there now?
Coach.
Matt Blevins.
I mean, as long as he has adequate access from 160 back, I don't think that he is, or at least I was told that, I've not talked to him, is not caring that it goes on through. Obviously, we know what Jussel's thoughts are. He prefers not to see that. If it does, he'll have to live with that. But I know that where, for example, the current right-of-way is stated to be, and I know that because it's my great-grandfather's old home place runs right over it. So the old foundation is there, and so obviously that road wasn't right there because it will take it out. But
the way back to Mr. Blevins' house, I would like to take the brush back one of these days, so long as it's not much of a road back through there. And I'd like
how far is it from 160 to his house? I've not been there since he built.
He's back there exactly where the property corners. Mm-hmm. Remember, goes back there in that old section line. He's right there where that old section line goes straight forward.
We went to the section line.
Approximately a quarter from where the chip seal ends.
And where is it where Rick moved his fence out? About there or on down?
It's no. Just past his house, starting right there is where the fence moved out into the surveyed right-of-way. From there down to the branch at that point.
That project would have to be something that would, if consideration to be done, would have to be scheduled into a budget deal next year. Couldn't be started this winter anyways. Too much money involved in
it. Well, I mean, I know that years ago there was a road through there. And I know today that the only traffic that would use that, in my opinion, are people wanting to drive through there and shoot deer. I just did no other reason to.
That's the only thing I'd like to take some brush out there right now to level with his house, but it is so narrow and hard to try to maintain. I would like to actually, one of these days, come back in the near future, I'd like to
Well, we have legal right-of-way to do that, right?
We got 40 foot right there.
I'm all for that happening, Dan. It's our...
It might be easier for us maintaining everything, make everything better there.
Yeah, it's a 40-foot easement to that section line and 40-foot easement on through there that's designated to go through. I sure wished when we had the opportunity to move that 50-foot to 100-foot up the hill that we would took it and went through there and if nothing else cleared the right-of-way. We wouldn't be in a big discussion about it now.
Well, again, what property owners will be affected? Mr. Darby and Brett.
That'd be it.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Darby has excellent access coming from 160, right?
I wouldn't call it excellent.
Well, excuse me. He has access.
He has access.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it excellent either. Okay. I need to get back out there. I understand you did.
Yes, sir.
There was no spit swapping or anything, was it?
No, sir.
It's good to know. Enough said.
We'll revisit that next year in the budget process or when we get to the round of the budget process if you guys want to and see if it's a project that might be put in next year. And if it's not, it'll have to be delayed. There's been a lot of money spent on the court case on that. Mm-hmm. And so we'll wait and see if when... I think that's even wrote in there somewhere that upon the county's availability of funds to put the road in or whatever. So it's something we don't have to address right now, Ron.
I appreciate you having gone up. We talked about that and having that discussion.
You're welcome.
I had it shortly thereafter when we came in. So.
I do have one other one. I do have one more item if I didn't have it on there, but...
We clean that whenever you, that's my opinion, right?
Hmm.
Do what you need to do on that road.
Oh, yeah.
Cutting that brush back.
Over to the section line.
Okay. Because it'd make it a lot easier to maintain it. Sure. If I could take it out a little further, and we'd have a lot easier to make it work.
Randy?
Arizona Drive. The... gentleman, Mr. Button, has gotten that replatted and recorded, so he's met his contingencies. I did meet out there with the surveyor previous to them getting this done, and also Empire Electric District, which has the electrical underground power there. They showed me where the existing road was supposed to be. It wasn't exactly centered in the right of way, which the power box was not in the way. It was just on the edge of the right of way, but it wasn't involved in the road. They had it staked and showed me where the boundaries of the right of way would be, and they also had to move the current cul-de-sac and shorten it up, still same size, but move it back to keep it away from a wellhead. So. And I think the well that serves that four or five lots there. So I do have the recorded plat. And so he's met his contingencies. And so I guess we could put it into the road system.
It's voted on contingent upon.
Right. So we've got that. He's not going to be happy for one thing. He was kind of expecting chip seal, which is not going to happen this year, but we can get some road maintenance and some grading these last rains. I think his last email to me, the rains had washed the road pretty good, but we can get a little bit of that work done, but okay. It's going to have to be on a future list as far as chip seal, depending on how we can schedule work. So,
Randy, did we ever take care of the drainage problem down here on Y Highway I can't remember the road.
River Rat.
River Rat.
River Rat.
Yes. We've completed that and have that one done, and there may be one coming up in the near future, another one, but I'm waiting on the sewer department to let us know what they want to do with that one right now. So, but we did complete River Rat, and I sent Eddie what it cost us to do that work. So.
I got a motion to go into executive. I need to talk about a couple of issues with, or actually three issues.
We're scheduled to go into executive for personnel?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your motion?
Yes. Yes.
I got one thing.
Okay.
I stepped out for a personal emergency there, but it's my turn. Friday I got a call from Kathy about a Miss Vaughn that had called in, and I did go down there and meet with her this morning. She has a drainage problem down on Oakwood Drive, which is between Graham Clark's and Big Cedar. She says in the spring after those heavy rains that she actually says a road and bridge and somebody in a car, she thought it was, I took it, one of you guys maybe, but I don't know of anybody going down there and taking any pictures. Anyway, she does have a...
During the flood water, I drove down there, I took no pictures.
She does have a drainage problem. With the 5 to 6 inch rain we had last week, it even is still a problem. I know in the spring rains, of course, with that 15 inches, everybody had drainage problems. But she would like a culvert put in. It will be on the property line running between her and a neighbor, and it could use it and would help the problem a lot. The water has to run down 450 feet. We had cleaned some ditches there. I don't know if I didn't get the right work order. We cleaned the wrong ditch the first time. So she was upset, but we do need to probably look at it. And just cleaning the ditch above where she's talking about will not probably take care of all this water. A horn we could put across Oakwood, and it will dump between her and the next door person.
And that's where the water's going naturally anyway?
It looks like it had before, yes, sir.
I'd say go ahead and do it, because if we've already made a blunder on the work order and she thinks it was supposed to be done, go ahead and get it done.
I think it'll help, and like I say, I did see the property pin, and where we will be putting it to be right between. And there's a spring below it, she said. I did not see it. I didn't drop down in there. But so we can move with that.
Yeah, so we're on the inside, but if any time there's a mess up with the county in any way, fashion, or form, I want to take care of it.
There was a work request done, and it was sent to me, and I've misplaced it, and that's the reason that one got delayed or didn't happen, and make apology for that, but that was sent to me, and I didn't get there to visit with her.
We had done some work there close to it, so I may have got it mixed up myself. This will solve the problem.
Any other business before we go into executive session?
No, I'll second that motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to Section 610.021.3. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Ron, aye. Opposed, nay.
I try it true. It's Jim, aye. And we'll come back live at 1 o'clock, won't we?
Actually,
we'll come back and go into executive for a different.
It's still executive. Same.
We've got agenda requests.
We've got agenda and approval of payroll and juror payment.
So 1 o'clock.
We'll stand in executive session until 1 p.m. today.